It's your agribusiness. It's show 610 in our original It's Your Business series. That's show 610. Rev, all things agriculture in this hour.
Yeah.
You strapped in, ready to go?
I'm bolted down. Here we go.
Something for consumers and producers alike. We'll talk about the next generation of farmers with Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch. Sylvia Christen, head of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association, is helping serve beef to the legislators and telling the ag story today. Well, she'll be visiting with us as well about the implementation of rules for the livestock disaster programs to make sure they apply effectively for our South Dakota ranchers. We're on the bus as well with the dairy families for a big concert to help benefit to Feeding South Dakota. Leanne Phillips will be explaining that. Roger DeRoshi and Luke Rendell of Plains Commerce are talking coverage of crop insurance to their bank clients. We'll find out exactly what they're saying. On the road again, the Stark side of Holt McDowell sponsors the iGrow.org. We'll have a report on what they're seeing as they are, again, on the highways and byways of our travel area. Dr. Greg Carlson explains a precision ag conference scheduled for Sioux Falls next month. But let's get started with Rick Shields, Midwest Communication Farm Director. Rick, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Getting strapped in myself, Bill.
Well, let's make it happen. You know, when you hit daylight savings time, it should be a time that we start finding fields, looking to spring, but we're still talking about what the farm plan means and what else do you find as well in your crystal ball this morning?
Well, yeah, finding what it all means there. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, APHIS, they're planning enforcement procedures to help trace the disease outbreaks in animals. That effort started last year about this time, and the administrator says that there are now more places you can get animal tags and also a greater variety of identification devices. And some states now are working to make certificates more mobile for use in the fields. And not only has livestock disaster compensation been put on fast track lately, that fast track is also applying to folks who've suffered any winter weather-related losses. So that's a bit of an expansion there.
We're seeing a lot of work, but many talking about the importance of passing the torch to the next generation of farmers. I don't remember this much in the past.
Yeah, right. Kind of two areas looking at here. One, succession planning. There are a lot of seminars, those all the time. Like you mentioned, they're emerging, and something they're stressing, the importance of communication, their interpersonal communication, having some kind of written plan, so everything doesn't go down at just the worst time when a family member passes. Also meeting between generations to keep up to date on what their plans are, and they're always mindful they can change, too, and staying current, for example, on when a parent plans to quit farming. Also, more talk about the importance of encouraging younger farmers to stay with the program, whether it's financial encouragement or what, as they move into that demographic between, 35 and 55, the latest ag statistics numbers, census of ag, show a big drop in the number of producers there. They're kind of the donut hole, if you will.
And later in the hour, we'll be talking with the South Dakota stock growers about the USDA's proposed rule to import beef from Brazil, despite their own admission that there's an inherent risk of foot and mouth disease.
Yeah, they've had that foot and mouth problem over the years, and imports related to cook product limited now to 14 Brazilian states. The proposal would allow importation to expand to frozen or chilled product in addition to the cooked product. And the states now, these 14 states, tend to be in the southern and southeastern part of the country. Mato Grosso do Sul, for once, that's a big soy and corn-growing area, and Bahia in the northeast, and also the federal district around Brasilia. USDA has responded to a finding that Brazil has infrastructure and also emergency response capability responding to any kind of FMD outbreak there in South America.
Are there breaking farm news this morning?
Well, the other day, there's now a House measure designed to protect personal information to be released due to a Freedom of Information Act request. One's been in the Senate for a while, and a response to problems over a year ago. You may recall, I think, once in February and once in April, when around, what was it, 80,000 producers, personal info was put in the hands of environmental groups, trying to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, appreciate you getting the ball rolling here on our It's Your Agribusiness Show.
As long as it's not a snowball.
There you go. It's melting today.
Yeah, same here.
You betcha. Let's see if Lucas Lynch, our South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture, answers the bell this morning. Lucas, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Glad to be with you.
You betcha. Our topic is the beginning farmer bond program through the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, great question, Bill. When you're looking at programs and opportunities within the state of South Dakota, your Department of Agriculture has a number of different programs. One of those is the Beginning Farmer Bond Program, and essentially when you're looking at that, that really allows a producer. The South Dakota Value-Added Finance Authority Board, which provides oversight of our programs. We just had three beginning farmer bond applications that were approved for $1.5 million in the last few days. And it's basically available to eligible beginning farmers or ranchers to purchase ag land at lower interest rates. And, Bill, to be eligible for the program, an applicant must be at least 18 years old, a South Dakota resident, and have a net worth under $400,000 and own less acres than 30% of the county median. And then the upper limit on the beginning farmer bond is $509,600. And so they basically that the beginning farmer bond program works through a local lender. However, if retiring farmers are interested in passing on their land to a beginning farmer, the interest off of that contract sale is federally tax-exempt, providing substantial savings to the seller. So we're seeing that program get really pulled in for some of those private sailed opportunities. However, the regs are prohibiting this type of transaction with closely related parties such as parents or grandparents, which is unique because a lot of the land that we do see transitioning is within the family. So we recognize that there's a workaround, and that's going through that third-party lender.
But it does give the young farmer a chance to begin buying land once you get through all the regs. You got to have regs that there's going to be money involved, but the fact that you got some local lenders that are a part of that, they're going to look and see if they can find a way to get these people in place.
You bet. I mean, the bond program is a great way for a beginning farmer to buy land. You know, it's also advantageous for a retiring farmer that would be willing to enter into a contract for deed or an individual investor looking to help finance a beginning farmer. I mean, when my wife and I first bought our ag property coming back to the state, we did a contract for deed, and it you know, at the time, had I known more about this tool, it would have really been a benefit to the landowner because he was worried about taking the hit on income. And, it's nice. It's a nice tool, and it's one that, frankly, we just need to keep talking about because we administer this program through the Value-Added Finance Authority, and the board meets monthly to review the applications and issue the bonds for approved projects. So it's a good deal. For more information, if you're out there listening and you have a chance to write down just a quick website, if you just go to our Department of Agriculture's website, sdda.sd.gov, and really go under the ag programs. It's right under the Farming and Ranching tab, financial assistance programs. And so good stuff. It's all part of the mix. I mean, that's the stuff, Bill, that you're talking about here today. It's just recognizing the tools that are available and at our fingertips.
One last follow-up, and that's the dairy visits you had out in California. Anything that you've heard back or any questions that have come from the Golden State?
You know, it's really exciting. Even now, we had visitors in the state last week. We have visitors again this week. It's really, we're seeing probably of all of our trips to California, this is really the one that's generating some very good, quick, early momentum. And so the good news is it's the next generation of ag producers. It's the husbands and wives with the young families that are looking at our state and wanting to grow their family operations into the state. And then on top of that, we have existing dairies that continue to talk to us our current South Dakota residents who are talking about expansion. And so it's exciting, and I think there's a lot of excitement that continues to build around, the recognition that Bell Brands in Brookings is going to be online later this year. And if you haven't driven by the Bell Brands plant, if you go up to Brookings and you take either the first or second exit, it's just the gravel road east of there runs the highway that runs and connects there. You can see it from the interstate. It's just on the east side of the interstate, but the brand new Bell Brands plant, it's just a statement to what ag development can look like in our state, and it's really an impressive looking facility.
And later in our show, we're going to talk with Midwest Dairy. They're a big farm concert coming up on March 25th, an effort to help feed South Dakota.
You bet. Well, and even last week, I had the opportunity to join Ag United in Sioux Falls at the banquet, Bill. And food insecurity is something that's very real, and it's very real in our state. And, on that particular evening, we served over 350 meals at the banquet in Sioux Falls, and over 50 of them were kids. And it really spoke to me about the need for us to pay attention right here in our own state, and feeding South Dakota is a great part of that.
That's one of the reasons in this show we talk about producers and consumers and how we work together.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Bill, it's always great. The weather's turning around. Spring's on its way. We're hearing there might be a little bit of weather still yet to come, but with this daylight savings time kicking us into gear, we're ready for the spring. I know there's a lot of folks itching to get out and get going.
Lucas Lynch, South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture, thanks for taking time with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
Plains Commerce Bank, we're going over to Mitchell, Roger DeRoshi, and Luke Grindell. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Bill and listeners.
You don't sell crop insurance, but we want to talk a little bit about farmers and their bottom line and their financial appeal and what level is important with crop insurance.
That's exactly right, Bill. The farmers have until March 15th to make their final decisions on their spring-planted crop insurance needs, and Plains Commerce Bank is in a unique situation because we can provide a non-biased third-party opinion on this because our bank does not sell crop insurance.
So what kind of advice, what kind of questions are you getting from those that you represent that are becoming a part of the Plains Commerce family?
Well, the producers that we work with, we can send them a crop production spreadsheet, and they can put their input costs in there and determine what their cost of production is on a different land that they farm. And then from that, they can match up their crop insurance needs.
So what else are you being asked over in the Mitchell area? You guys are just getting rolling over there, but it's all a part of the Plains Commerce family that's got a lot of rural roots in South Dakota.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bill. And I just want to add another point on that crop insurance. I think it's important in my prior days as a farm management instructor to visit with the producers and talk about the insurance coverage per acre. That is the key in crop insurance, and not just look at the premium cost per acre. And some of the questions that we're getting asked over here is about financing land purchases. There's some land that's coming up for sale in the area, and our farmers are tired about paying high cash rent and contracting that, and at the end of the contract, the land comes up for a rent auction again, and it seems like the rent is increasing all the time on this land. So questions that we're being asked now is the financial terms and conditions and purposes, and how much can the producers pay for land and make it be profitable, and that's some of the major questions that we're getting asked now.
All right, for people that have questions for the Plains Commerce family, how do they reach you guys?
Well, I think the easiest way would be to go online and just type in there good old www.plainscommerce.com. We have branches in Aberdeen, Watertown, Condi, the mothership in Hoven, also Watertown and now in Mitchell. They can call us in the Mitchell branch at 996-1102. Or come visit us. We say that we're between Campbell's Supply and Cubby's Gas Station in Mitchell, which is the address at 1200 South Burr Street.
Roger and Luke, Plains Commerce Bank, we appreciate your insight this morning. Hope you get some warm weather today.
people out this past weekend and a few days coming up, so we're certainly going to enjoy that, and it'll put everybody in a much more pleasant attitude, and that's the way I look at it.
I agree with you. We'll talk with you guys next week.
Thank you, Bill.
When we come back, we'll talk with the Stark boys. They're on the road again, and we'll also talk about a conference March 18th and 19th in Sioux Falls, all a part of It's Your Agri. Little musical interlude there. We might ought to be playing On the Road Again for Travis and Roger Stark. Holt McDowell sponsors the iGrow.org website on It's Your Agribusiness. The Batmobile is rolling where today, guys?
We are heading south into Nebraska.
Batman and Robin headed south.
Norfolk, Nebraska.
Oh, beautiful Norfolk, home of Johnny Carson, which where he was born. Bill, did you know that?
I did know that.
Okay,
yep.
All right.
We go right by his house.
Do you?
Do you really?
Yeah. We'll stop and take a picture for you guys.
Okay.
Well, that's all right. And we'll use it on our pods and whatever. You guys standing out in front of Johnny Carson's house.
Yeah. Will do.
All right. So what are you guys talking today? What is leading you into Nebraska?
We just have a co-op annual meeting that we're a part of. But one of the things we want to talk about, on April 16th and 17th, there's a work comp summit in Sioux Falls. And if you go on Howell McDowell's website, it'll explain about it, or Howell University, either one. And it's important because it tells the do's, don'ts, ups, downs, in and outs of work comp. And work comp is changing every day, so it's extremely important.
And one of the nice things about this program is they're allowing general sessions, and then they're going to have breakout sessions, so you can kind of dictate what track you want to, you know, what interests you, what is relevant to your operation, smaller operations, larger operations. Are you new to work comp? Do you kind of want more of the advanced rules and regulations that pertain to your operation? So it's really custom. I mean, it's a large event, 400 to 500 people, but then they really get it broke down into your specific area.
All right, if people listening want to be a part of it, how do they do that?
You can go to our website, HowellMcDowell.com, under the Howell University tab. There'll be information to register there. You can contact our office, 605-339-3874, and you can ask to speak with Roger or myself or Tanya Schlinker, and we can help you get registered as well.
And work comp is going to reach down to just about everybody at some point. There's going to be very few people that are going to be exempt, if you will. But, I mean, this Family Health Care Act, or whatever they call it, is actually going to reach into work comp one day and again, make it as complicated as health insurance.
Travis and Roger Stark, Holt McDowell, they're just north of Johnny Carson's house in Norfolk, is what they're telling us this morning.
I got a question, Bill.
Go ahead.
Is Lucas in your office this morning?
No, he was not.
No.
Why did he want?
Suppose he'd ever invite us out to pier?
You know, he probably would have invited you today. Do you need an invitation? I can get one for you.
Well, we'd like, you know, we think Lucas is a big deal. We'd like to feed him in his office.
You just let me know, and we will line it up. all right, Holt
Sylvia,
University.
I'm dying to meet. Hey, I want to meet Sylvia too.
I'll bet you do. She wants to meet you, and she's in the next half hour.
Yeah. Okay.
Holt University. Tell us about that.
Holt University is basically a collection of knowledgeable individuals, topics that all industries are interested in, whether it's contracts and limiting your liability,
OSHA regulations.
Yeah, rules, regulations as it pertains to some of the federal regulations that are coming out. What we try and do is we set up either face-to-face, we have opportunities for webinars, we keep recordings of these so they're accessible through on-demand formats. It's one of those things where we need to bring in more information from the people who are knowledgeable in the areas that people have questions. And this is the best way that we've found to do it. And it's the most convenient way for people to get involved. So it's truly one of the most important features that we focus on at Howell McDowell, because we need to make sure that we're all educated, because that helps.
Because Bill, honestly, it's like, who do you get your information from and what's it worth? And that's one of the things that makes Co-op University really good is we get the expert in there that knows instead of your neighbor telling you how it's supposed to work or your friend that you ride the train with or your friend that you ride the bus with or whatever it is. And information is only as good as the people that deliver it. You know, we try to take and make it pertinent information that has a meaning for you and not just God.
Well, you guys have safe travels today. Enjoy Nebraska. Come back safely, and we'll talk with you next week, and we'll set up that meeting with you with the Secretary of Agriculture.
We'd like that. Thanks, Bill.
Okay, guys, safe travels. Dr. Greg Carlson, SDSU Extension Precision Farming Specialist. Dr. Greg, nice to have you with us. We're going to do a minute, then we're going to take a quick break, come back, and continue a little bit. But let's mention a couple of times that March 18th, 19th, a Western Corn Belt Precision Ag Conference scheduled here for Sioux Falls.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate us discussing that. It's a real opportunity. We're gonna talk about a lot of things down there, but in fact, we're going to have a lot of really interesting new innovations in precision agriculture there. John Deere is going to be coming in with their 10-mile-an-hour planter, which I think is incredibly interesting. Kenzie's coming in with their multi-variety planter, as Raven going to be discussing and talking about it, and Raven's working with Kenzie on this project. So it's just an incredible and exciting meeting that's coming up down there at the Sioux Falls Convention Center, as you mentioned, on the 18th and 19th of March. And so we're looking forward to this.
Dr. Carlson, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk just a little bit more, some of the topics, including the challenge and need to increase crop yields, risk management in 2014, and rethink. It's your agribusiness, the second half hour. We are talking with Dr. Greg Carlson, SDSU Extension Precision Farming Specialist. We mentioned a conference that's next week, but Greg, you have a conference this week, Soy 100, up in Brookings.
Yes, I appreciate you talking about that. The Soy 100 conference is a conference put on by the South Dakota Soybean Producers and SDSU jointly. It's going to be in the Rotunda D Thursday, March 13th here at SDSU. It's it's sponsored totally by the South Dakota Soybean Producers, and it's actually a free conference. You could get on to South Dakota Soybean Association's website and pre-register. So, in fact, you'll reserve a lunch for yourself. And lunch is free also, paid for. I shouldn't say it's free. It's paid for by the South Dakota Soybean Producers through their checkoff. We have Kent Beadle and Paley Patterson are going to be the two keynote speakers, but we're also going to have a lot of SDSU speakers and discussion going on. Dwayne Beck is going to be speaking in the afternoon along with Bob Narum and Chris Hay. So we're looking forward to that meeting.
Going back to the one here in Sioux Falls on the 18th and 19th, that's at the Convention Center. Third year you've been doing it. A couple of notes that I want you to talk about, if you will, briefly. The challenge and need to increase crop yields, that would seem to be important to any producer.
Well, that's incredibly important. And what is little understood, some of the data that we've analyzed in recent years would indicate, as we compare work that's being done on our experiment stations with work that's being done by the National Agricultural Statistics Service, we're continuing to have a divergence between what is possible and what is actually being accomplished. It is my true belief that, in fact, we need to focus very, very certainly on increasing the productivity of our lands across South Dakota. I mean, this is the very, very basis of our economy, the very, very basis of our society. And we have an opportunity. The capability is there. We just got to get it done. As I discussed that, it's largely a management thing, and we're falling behind as far as our capability. We're not meeting the expectations of what we ought to be doing, and there's lots of opportunities there to enhance, improve our management to the point where, in fact, we can probably the work by Dave Clay this last year would indicate that we might be as far as 50 bushels lower on the average than what we should be for corn and 20 bushels lower than what we should be for soybeans. That's a real, real opportunity. It's an opportunity for producers, but also if we could have that kind of increased yield, it's an opportunity for our entire economy. What people need to understand is our entire economy revolves around the results of our production agricultural systems.
Dr. Greg Carlson, SDSU Extension Precision Farming Specialist. We'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to change gears here a little bit, and we're going to visit with a young lady by the name of Leanne Phillips, Midwest Dairy Association. Leanne, good morning to you.
Good morning.
We're talking about the fourth year that the dairy farmers are doing a Be Our Guest at a concert that's a part of the Central Plains Dairy Expo. Tell us about the event that's on March 25th, correct?
That's right. At 7:30 on March 25th, at the part of the welcome reception to the Central Plains Dairy Expo, the Roots and Boots Tour featuring Joe Diffie, Sammy Kershaw, and Aaron Tippin will be in town. And we've opened that concert up to anyone who would like to attend, just needs to make a $10 donation to Feeding South Dakota, and they'll receive a concert pass to the event courtesy of dairy farmers here in the Midwest.
Part of this, though, is getting the message across about the importance of dairy products in South Dakota and the industry that is continuing to grow. As we talked with the Secretary of Agriculture this morning, visitors from California in the last week looking to make dairy even a bigger event here in our great state.
Absolutely. You know, the dairy industry is a huge part of the state's growth and the state's economy, as well as it's a very important part of feeding South Dakota for everyone's diet. For Feeding South Dakota, it's a highly requested product, dairy products are. However, less than 5% of the products that they have in their stock are dairy. So a concert like this and other opportunities to raise funds for Feeding South Dakota that they can go out and purchase those perishable dairy products is very important.
I know, Leanne, we have listeners out there that are saying, okay, how can I be a part of this concert? But I think you got some pretty good partners in First Bank and Trust, Hy-Vee, and Lewis Drug.
Absolutely. We're taking donations can be made at Hy-Vee locations in Sioux Falls, Lewis Drug locations in Sioux Falls, Brandon, Brookings, Huron and Madison, as well as First Bank and Trust in Sioux Falls, Brookings, Canton, and Garrettson. So you can just walk into their customer service desks, and they'll help you out. If for some reason you can't make it to any of those locations ahead of March 25th, we will also have passes available at the door of the concert.
All right, so where exactly will this be? Where will the concert be?
It will be at Sioux Falls Arena in Sioux Falls. The concert starts at 7:30. Doors are going to open for the Be Our Guest folks at about 6:45, and it's going to be first come, first served seating in the balcony area. So,
The food bank, the Feeding South Dakota, why is that such an important project for Midwest Dairy?
It's very important because dairy products are so important to nutrition and to especially to young people. It's an important part of their diets with nine important nutrients. Milk is a great resource. However, it's just very difficult for Feeding South Dakota to keep those perishable dairy products in stock. So that's why programs like this are so important.
Well, with the fact that the concert's a couple of weeks away, we're going to be visiting with you guys again next Monday as a reminder and help deliver the message about dairy products in South Dakota.
Sure.
Very importantly, Leanne. Thanks for being a part of our show this morning.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
And we appreciate the chance to tell you about Joe Diffie, Sammy Kershaw, and Aaron Tippin that will be a part of the concert in Sioux Falls on March the 25th. We still have some loan numbers to talk about this morning. We're going to check in with Matt Knipling at the iGrow.org website and Sylvia Kristen with the fact that this is Beef Day at the State Capitol. We'll check in on that as well, all a part of our agribusiness show on this Monday. Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. Craig Marquardt, Advana Mortgage, Senior Loan Officer. Last hour, we talked with Jim a little bit about the next few months, and it didn't look the best, but what are you thinking? What are we seeing in the snapshot this morning?
Well, Bill, the previous week, just last week, we saw the worst week for mortgage rates since August of 2013, and interest rates rose up pretty sharply throughout the week, and they were at the highest level that we hadn't seen since early January. And so right now, the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is still holding steady from where it ended on Friday at 4.50% for a 30-year fixed rate with an APR of 4.648%. So for the short term here, it's going to be touch and go. I think it's going to be a little higher throughout the early part of this week, and then as the weather breaks a little bit, I think it's going to help out with getting some more people on the workforce, and then rates might trickle back down a little bit.
The home show over the weekend, what kind of reaction did you guys get?
Well, I think that the attendance was about the same as it was the previous year. I know that Friday was down a little bit according to the report, but then Saturday was very, very busy, and then Sunday was steady as well. And there are a lot of people out there getting ready to start building houses, and they're looking at getting a builder figured out or picked out, and then a price determined with their contractor. And I've even talked to a lot of builders that said that they can't even take any more houses this year because they're so booked up.
Amazing story. 18-7, what's that mean?
That means that somebody at the office can always give some information, answer questions, and even help out with quoting interest rates even after 5 o'clock. And so if folks want to call 275-2777, they can get an on-call mortgage banker anytime after 5. They can even apply over the telephone with that on-call mortgage banker, or they can go online at www.advanamortgage.com.
One size doesn't fit all?
Yeah, rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions, as well as the specific loan program that people are looking at, as well as the individual borrower's details. And so when I talk about interest rates, it's not necessarily the same rate for everybody. And folks can even buy down the interest rate too. So I always talk about rates with no points, but there are rates that are lower than that, and folks can buy it down if they like.
Bottom line is, if you have any questions, what you need to do is call Advanta Mortgage. And how do you do that?
Give us a call at 275-2777.
All right. Sounds good to us. Craig Marquardt, Senior Loan Officer, Advanta Mortgage. Mortgage bankers you can count on.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. We've got our good friend Matt Knipling at the iGrow.org website in Brookings. I understand it's kind of a quiet campus today, but you're working, and there are a few people that are on the road about 55 miles south.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet up here, and I think most of them have traveled southward today. I guess there's some big game going on down there, sounds like.
Well, and you're working. You know, we will note that you're there working today, and we can see you by Skype. But what do you have, upcoming events, things we should know about, and people can go to iGrow.org and get a little bit more information?
Well, you know, we've always got trying to keep things up to date on the website and get the new information out of there. But this week we're talking about the new dairy margin protection programs that came out with the 2014 Farm Bill, improving the fire management in South Dakota through better education and just kind of getting everybody prepared for, you know, maintaining their lands. The Affordable Care Act and what impact it will have on seniors around the state. As mentioned by Dr. Carlson earlier in the show today, we have on March 13th the Soy 100 growing 100 bushel soybeans event here on the campus of SDSU, put on by the South Dakota Soybean Producers. March 18th and 19th is the Western Corn Belt Precision Ag Conference down there in Sioux Falls. And we'll be finishing up the private applicator training sessions this month. We'll be talking about food hubs and how they can help South Dakota ag producers. We're talking about sustaining the legacy, estate planning, and farm transitions. And we're going to have workshops both in Watertown and Rapid City on March 17th.
Well, sounds like a busy time, and it's that time of year where people are looking for places to go to improve their bottom line, and certainly iGrow.org is a good website to go to check and see what works and what doesn't work for them. But in just visiting with Dr. Carlson this morning, the conference they have later this week, the Soy 100, and then the one next week in Sioux Falls, the 18th and 19th. Looks like busy times.
It's going to be.
Matt, we appreciate you keeping us posted on the iGrow.org website. And we'll keep an eye on those people that are visiting from Brookings and across South Dakota here in Sioux Falls. We'll kind of patrol that for the next 2 or 3 hours.
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be talking with you again next week. Sylvia Christian is the Executive Director of the Stock Growers Association in South Dakota. She was to be with us at this hour, but today is the beef day at the Capitol. That's not beefing with those people in the Capitol. That's actually serving the legislators and telling the ag story, and something that Sylvia will be doing with the people from the Stock Growers Association as well. We're going to have her on next week, and we're going to talk about the implementation of rules for the livestock disaster program to make sure that they apply effectively for our ranchers. And that we'll also talk about the Brazil question about the inherent risk of foot and mouth disease that we addressed a little bit earlier in the show with Rick Shields, something that pressing the stock growers, plus get an update on the amount of money that's been collected for the Ranchers Relief Fund, as well as the reception it's getting as it's handed out. Russ Hoovendick, Directional Motivation and Client Staffing Solutions.com. We talked with one of your proteges as we started the show with Lucas Lynch. I guess he turned out okay, didn't he?
I guess. You know, he's done really well for himself. He really, really has. Yeah, it's a privilege working with him. I placed him, the first position in his career, and then he's taken off from there.
Well, what you do as an executive recruiter is help those that a lot of them are from rural areas that listen to us, those from urban areas as well. But, you really work with those that have the military, the ag, unemployed, underemployed, and it's all free of charge. That's something that's pretty important to you and what you're doing with the writing of the book, Deployment to Employment, and how to interview.
Well, I think we're really making some inroads, not only within the military community, but within the civilian sector, too, in terms of the outreach that we can do and helping people with their career search, that type of thing, getting them connected with employers and for employers, making a difference, because there's a lot of needs out there right now, and employers are trying to figure out where do they get the talent that's going to fill those ranks. And so looking at the veteran community would be a great option for them.
Last week, we talked about the unemployment rate going from 6.6 to 6.7, but 175,000 new jobs. That's important if you have one of those jobs, but if you're looking for it and need somebody that can provide some recruiting backgrounds with a Fortune 500, with those that just need to find a better opportunity, and for people to understand that if you grew up on a farm or you've got the service to your country, you probably understand how life does work.
You know, the accountability that those of the ag sector bring is really good, and employers are looking for those types of individuals that have that commitment like we're talking about. And many times your ag individuals have a good background in terms of overall maintenance too, so we find a need out there for them as well.
Russ, the other thing, too, we'll mention is that we've had a couple of people that have been on the show that you've helped find jobs that are service-related, and we're trying to set another one of those up in the next week or two.
Yeah, I think that the way it sounds right now, we should be good to go on Friday, bringing in another veteran that I've placed and be able to kind of listen to his story and, the success that he's had and, our ability to assist in that effort's been really fun.
All right. People need to find work. How can you help them? How do they reach you?
Sure. They can give us 605-362-8176. My extension is 101. And they can also go to our recruitment site, which is clientstaffingsolutions.com. And then to our free career resource site, which is directionalmotivation.com.
Russ Hoovendick, always appreciate the chance to visit with you, and we'll visit with you tomorrow at the end of our Recovery Addiction Show.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones. He's always a busy guy, you know, that Main Street to Wall Street. Just watching that would keep you busy, Todd.
Yes, yes. I'd like to sneak out for some kind of a long lunch hour, but I don't think I'm going to get that orchestrated.
Sorry.
Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. U.S. stocks are trading lower on global growth concerns stemming from China as investors continue to monitor the situation in Ukraine. Chinese exports fell 18% in February, the most since the global financial crisis, swinging trade balance into a deficit in the world's second largest economy. Economists had expected a 6.8% increase along with trade surplus, but expressed caution given possible distortions caused by New Year's holidays, things like that. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is consumer staples. The worst performing sector is industrial stocks. At 10:30 a.m., the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 92 points at 16,360. The S&P 500 index is off 10 at 1,867, and the NASDAQ is down 20 at 4,315. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 160 million shares. Decliners are outnumbering advancers by a 4-to-1 margin. In commodity markets, gold is up $2 at $1,342, silver down 2 cents at $20.88, and crude oil prices are off $1.54 at $101.04. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronics is trading at $13.94, Citigroup off 28 cents at $49.34, Raven trading at $39 per share, Summit Hotel Properties is at $9.24, and Meta Financial Bank is over $45.43. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
Sorry you can't sneak out for lunch.
That's all right.
When our audience needs more information, I know you're going to be there to answer the phones. Best way to reach you today?
Locally, 371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com.
Todd, you have a good week.
You guys do. Take care.
Want to mention one thing before we get to Valentino's, that today is the first official day of regular business for the new Co-op Natural Foods at its new location, 410 West 18th Street. The store had a fire on January 19th that destroyed the site on Duluth, and today they reopened for their first official day. All right, Valentino's. John, at 41st and Willow is the stop, and I heard Rev say on Friday while I was out working at the convention center that he used to cut the grass and do a few things right next door to you.
He sure did. He sure did. They were good neighbors, too. I tell you, we had later on when his dad did it, he would we tag team the leaf frogs. There's a lot of trees over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he would mow them up and throw them over the wall, and I would take them from there and take them to the leaf drop off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons I mentioned that is if you don't have enough reasons to talk to John when you come into Valentino's, ask him about Rev and the kind of neighbor that he was. Okay? It is senior day, and that made me think of Rev.
Yeah,
oh.
He's a young senior yet. See, our age is 55. And, all good-looking seniors get another 10% off on Mondays.
Nice. Now, I was curious. I did hear Rev talk about the fact that it is the first Friday of Lent last Friday. Did that make a difference as to what people came in and ate?
Yes, it did. The fish was quite a bit, a larger portion of their meal at lunch and at dinner. And the dinner isn't quite as busy because people are going to the church and, you know, celebrating the first day of Lent, so they're not out and about quite as much. But the percentage of fish we sold that day was up drastically over normal Fridays.
All right, and you got St. Patrick's Day next Monday. Do you have something green besides a salad that I could eat?
No, unfortunately, we're not that big into beer, so we don't have the green beer.
No green beer? How about some green Jello, maybe, or something?
Yeah,
huh?
It is my mom's birthday that day.
Oh.
When she was living at the nursing home, for some reason, on her birthday only, she always got green beer.
Hmm. Nice.
The soups that you have, even though it's going to be in the 50s today, we got about 30 seconds left. Tell us about the soups.
Yes, we got the corn chowder, the tomato bisque, and, of course, the chicken noodle. And we get raving reviews on them all.
John at Valentino's, 41st and Willow. Can't think of anything else to ask him. Ask him about Rev.
Yeah.
And his family. That'll get it started.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you a little bit later in the week. John, appreciate you. People stop by, 41st and Willow. Valentine's.
Have a great week.
All right, Rev, thanks for driving the bus today. We only had one that was busy feeding the legislators. We'll talk to Sylvia next week. For now, though, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Hello, News Talk.